Well, you may be seated. Today's kind of a summary, so I want to thank you for being here today. I believe that God has got you here today in this particular service for a reason, so that you might hear the greatness of God. You might respond. Now, all day long, this is about responding. So I just want you to go ahead and say, respond. Just look at your name and say, respond. Oh, that was weak. Lord, have mercy. I mean, just tell them, respond. Respond. Life doesn't happen unless we make a response, does it? We got to make a response. Now, we've heard some good things. God has clearly communicated to this congregation in the last 4 weeks. But now today's the tough day because guess what? Eventually you got to respond. You know, I don't know about you, but I like reading about losing weight. I just don't like the diet. You know, I've had the awfulest time. I know even the doctor has told me that I need to do cardio, and I'll walk about a half a mile on a treadmill, and I go, God, why do we walk when you gave us cars? You see, I just have these thoughts. But I know I'm supposed to, but I don't respond sometimes in ways that are beneficial. How many of you all have a response problem sometimes? All right, well, today we're going to really look at moving in that response problem. Is Jesus who he says he is? I say he is. And today is a day this is about all of us being together in the same direction with God. Today, we're going to have an opportunity for anybody in this room who needs to be baptized to go ahead and get that taken care of. The Lord's done a really cool thing. He's given us enough shorts and T-shirts, and we got robes. So I just want to go ahead and eliminate the excuse, well, I didn't come prepared. God did. It's not about him anyway. I want to tell you what we've learned about baptism. It's important. I grew up in a Baptist church. It was kind of interesting. I grew up in a Baptist church, and in the Baptist church, baptism wasn't important. Isn't that crazy? Since it was founded on this understanding that we're baptized into Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's not about just this water. That's not what I'm talking about. There's an act of obedience where the Holy Spirit, we are baptized with fire and power. And the baptismal act is important. Let me tell you why it's important. This is what we found. 20 years doing ministry at Hillview. Man, that sounds crazy. Elizabeth, you hadn't been here that long, have you? 20 years. You know what we found? People that are baptized move on in their faith and get committed. People that don't take that first step usually don't take the second. And when they try to take the second, they're wobbly. Why? Because they hadn't got the first things taken care of. Does that make sense? How many of y'all had kids? At least one had kids. Anybody have a kid? How did your kid learn to walk? Somebody tell me how your kid learned to walk. You had a kid, you're watching. I mean, okay, had to stand up first, okay? Some of y'all are standing. You're positioned to see God do great things in your life. You're here, okay? You're standing. Then what did they have to do? Come on, y'all talk to me. What did they have to do? How many of y'all had to watch your child take the first step?
They had to let go.
No, who had to let go? How many of you mamas had to let go? You let go, and there, you know, most of us have, if our kids are one and a half, or, you know, or 9 months, they have a big head and little legs. How many of y'all had a big head with little legs? Come on. Yeah. Sheriff, do you have any big-headed children? Yeah. I did, too. Mine looked like weebles. Weebles. They had big heads and little legs. And you know what? Their first step was what? It was wobbly. I'd serve some of y'all on that first step, and that's fine, because you know what? If you'll listen to God, he'll put that leg down and the next one, and you'll be walking in the things of God before you know it. But you got to take that first step. And so before we get to year all ready to roll, we got to get everybody in the first step. Doesn't that make sense? That you take care of the things that Jesus told you to. So today, if you have not been baptized, guess what? We're going to give you an opportunity to be baptized. And somebody said, well, preacher, let me tell you what. I was a little baby. They put a drop of water on my head, and I'm cleared. You know what? I honor that. Because let me tell you what happened. If you were christened or you were an infant, guess what their parents were saying? I want to make sure my child that God's given me knows Jesus Christ. I do think it's important that you as an adult confirm that God found you in Jesus Christ. You know what you're saying as an adult when you do that? As an adult, you say, you know what? Most 3 months old, 3 month old people do not make decisions for themselves. Would you agree with me? Like my 3 months old, they didn't make decisions for themselves. We took them where we wanted to go. They ate what we gave them. Now they spit it out sometimes, but they ate what we gave them. Okay. We had to totally take care of them. But you know what? We had a desire that our children would know who? Jesus Christ. Well, some traditions do that from what? It's that signification that, man, we want our children to know Christ. Somewhere along the way, though, you have had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, that's where this thing gets real. You have made the decision, man, I want to be done with my sin. I want to repent. I want a change of life. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. Lord Jesus, come into me. And now you need to make that sealing response in baptism. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. How many of y'all have been baptized? Just tell me, did it make a difference? I mean, y'all, come on, talk to me. Did it make a difference? Chris Allen, did being baptized make a difference? Timmy, did it make a difference? I mean, I wasn't lying, was I? I mean, you did it. You came out of the water. That's been almost a year now. Do you realize that? Side effects? Any dangerous side effects? Okay, good. Well, wait, hold on. I'm telling you. And these are things I've heard over the years of ministry. People say, I'm scared to get baptized. I said, it's water. We don't put any detergent in it or anything. How many of y'all are allergic to water? I've never heard of anybody being allergic to. Now, I'm sure I've just given somebody a new disease to create. Water allergy. So I'm going to encourage you today to step into the things of God. I want to do a quick review today, and then we're going to open this thing up to an altar. Now, it's about getting active. Church, I have always been pretty blunt, haven't I? I'm going to be very blunt again. There is no time for playing around anymore. It's over. Things are moving that fast. They can shift in a week and have absolute, total, global repercussions. I know most of y'all are in Kentucky. Most of y'all think I'm in Bowling Green, Kentucky. This Egypt thing doesn't have anything to do with me. You tell me that when you're paying about $12.50 a gallon. Because it's not just an Egypt thing. It's a Jordan thing. It's a Nusra thing. It's a Yemen thing. It's a Middle East thing. And some things are shifting. Now, if we're doing what God tells us to do, you don't have to worry about the shifts because you're doing what? What God tells you to do. And here's the shifts. There are some things taking place that will change our history. But watch this. Here's the only reason we're nervous. We haven't been doing what God asked us to do in the first place. The greatest weakness in the church today is evangelism. We've chased every rabbit but the one that counts. When it's all said and done and you stand before the King of Kings and the great Judge of Judges, here's what matters. Do you know Jesus died for your sins? Do you know that he's risen from the grave? Do you know that you're forgiven and you're in him? Here's what I know. If we're in Jesus, everything is going to be all right. How many of y'all are that secure? Now, hold on. I didn't say it wasn't going to shake. I didn't say it wouldn't quake. Now, here's what's going to kill everybody. I did not tell you it would be comfortable. Come on. We're grown up enough in this church. Is life comfortable? No. Lazy boys are an illusion. You know, they comfort you for what? A moment. The best we have here on earth is momentary comfort. But you know what? Even in an uncomfortable world, there's a God that pulls us through to eternal reality. Go with me to 1 Peter. And I want you to see who you're surrendering to today. Quick review. We're going to be a church that reaches the ends of the world. Do you all understand that? Okay? We're at the 20-year mark. Some of you all may want to get off the ship now. Okay? Because the ship is going to be about praising Jesus. It's going to be about going to the ends of the earth. I promise you, some of y'all looking at me with that look you give me, you'll be the ones God sends to a country you can't imagine. Yeah, you'll be the ones. You say, well, God wouldn't send me to Egypt. It's just like God to send somebody that doesn't want to go to Egypt. Ask Moses. You'll be it. Joseph, you'll be it. There you'll be riding a camel.
telling people about Jesus. Or God might send me to New York to minister to Yankees. I say, Lord, I don't speak their language. You know what Jesus does? He smiles and says, but I do. Because there's one language, and that's the language of the cross and the resurrection. That's where unity happens. Go with me to 1 Peter, and I'm going to go there too as soon as I find my Bible. Whew. Too many options in this octagon to lay your Bible down. Now go to 1 Peter. He is without sin. There is only one without sin. There's only one guy that doesn't sin. Guess who it is?
Jesus.
The rest of us have messed up. Just go ahead and tell your neighbor, you have messed up, believe it or not. Go ahead and tell him. You messed up. I've messed up. You've messed up. We've messed up. Come on, go ahead and tell him. Now watch this. Some of y'all do what? Some of y'all go, well, I'm not coming back to church because they tell me I messed up. Wait, what are you mad at? It's the truth. We all have messed up. Now, see, here's what I want you to know, because here's what messes us up. We'll try to get somebody else to save us other than Jesus. That's just human, man. My boyfriend's going to do it. My girlfriend's going to do it. My daddy's going to do it. My mama's going to do it. My grandmama's going to do it. Somebody's going to save me other than Jesus. How many of y'all have ever seen that go on? Parents, is it not frustrating? I can't save my children. Both of them sit right here. I can tell them about Jesus, but I can't save them. I cannot save them. I tell them, I can't save you. I can love you, but I can't what? I can't save you. Blake and Clacy on the day of judgment goes like this. Steve Ayers was my daddy, and that's all they got. They're going to hell. Jesus will say, Steve Ayers was your daddy. Go to hell. Now watch. When I say it like that, all of a sudden the reality becomes clear. There's one way to heaven. Somebody tell your neighbor, one way. Jesus. Now, as soon as I say that, I want you to know that I've become a radical and controversial figure. But I'm radical and controversial because you're saying, well, Pastor Steve, don't you believe the big mosque are going to heaven? I want to be clear and on record. No. I don't believe Buddhism will get you there. I don't believe Islamic faith will get you there. I don't believe New Age will get you there. I don't believe being a good person will get you there. I don't believe just because you're charming, you're going to go to heaven. I don't believe because you're an Ohio State fan that you can receive salvation. I think that lets you know that you're caught in sin. And you see what I'm saying? There's no other way but Jesus. Somebody say, I get it. And let me tell you, because it is He. Look at 1 Peter. He committed no sin. And no deception was found in His mouth. Let's be honest. I don't know about you, but I have committed sin and my mouth has had deception in it. Any of y'all had those two problems? How many of y'all have ever told the story so it would benefit you at least once so far in your human journey? See, we'll get deceit in our mouth and we'll get sin in our mouth. There's one source of truth and it's Jesus. And once we step into that, everything makes sense. But we got to do what? Step into it. And here's what it said. When they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. That's what I'm asking every one of us in this room to do today. I am encouraging you deeply, and I am more than strongly suggesting that you put your life in the hands, your eternal reality, to Him who judges what? Justly. There's only one place of justice. It's in Jesus Christ. Everything else is suspicious. Have you noticed that even our court systems are messed up by humanity? You know, I kind of get tickled. Supreme Court. Well, I'm taking you to the Supreme Court. The one that has nothing to do with humanity, but the one that says, even though you have sinned, I will justly forgive you so that you can be what you could not be by your what? Self. Now that's where you begin to understand the gospel. Are y'all that far along? So we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. Look what He says. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, the cross. He Himself, not we, He Himself bore our what? Mr. Carey, aren't you glad to know that we have a Jesus that has taken sin away from humanity? How many of y'all found that sin will mess you up? How many of y'all that far along? It'll mess you up. How many of y'all, when you lied, you got messed up? How many of y'all, when you got drunk, it wasn't as good as it was supposed to be? Y'all are like quiet, like y'all think, I don't know, some of y'all ain't been drunk. Some of y'all forget you were with me when we were, okay? So you forget about that. You forget about that. You're like, you forget about those moments. Yeah. I've been drunk before. Y'all have been drunk before. Here's what I can tell you, though. It wasn't what it promised. You know why? I have loosened up a wicked mind. And y'all ever loosened up a wicked mind? Now, guess what I'm asking you to do? To ask God to forgive you of your sins so that God might cleanse your mind and might reposition you into the reality of heaven. I don't know about y'all, but this is big. That God would secure our eternity. Look what he said. It is he who judges justly for our sins. By his wounds you have been healed. We talked about that last week. We are a healing church. We believe in healing, and we're going to continue to let Jesus heal people. If that bothers you, go to a church that doesn't believe in healing. Be sick. Some of my colleagues don't believe the spiritual gifts still exist. I have one comment about that. They're wrong. I don't even know the way to say it. I mean, I love them, but I love a lot of people that are wrong. A lot of people love me, and I'm wrong. Elizabeth's one of them. But once... God wants to heal. God is for real. I want to give you four things we're going to wrestle with, not for the rest of the year, but for the rest of our time together. And they're the four things we've talked about. This is the church we're going to be. And I can't bend it to make you and I feel comfortable with it. I don't like all of it either. You know, I can tell you right now, if I knew God was calling me to Duluth, Minnesota, I would go, but I would not be happy about that call. You know how cold it is there? Say, Lord, why not? Send Elizabeth is what I would say, Lord. Send her. Send her, Lord. And I will stay here and watch after the children. Send her. He'd say, you're going and she's staying. Oh. But you know, I'm at a point I would go. You know why? That's what God wants. You know what? We need a shepherd. It says so. We're healed by Christ, and it says so that God wants to do something great in us. Look what he wants to do. By his stripes, by his punishment, you and I have been healed. For we were like sheep going astray. But you have returned us to the what? Shepherd. The overseer of our souls. There's one way to be moved, and that's Jesus wants to be in your life. So, Pastor Steve, I've done some bad things. Yeah, I know. We all have. Just go ahead and confess it for everybody. Just look at your name and say, yeah, I have to. Go ahead and just tell them, I have to. Come on, work with me today. Y'all are sitting and staring. This isn't a sit and stare church. Just tell them, I have to. See, I want us to come to that reality. You know why some of you don't share the gospel? You don't realize you're a sinner. You've been to church so long and bought into the lie that people that go to church don't sin. That's bogus. I'm a pastor. We sin. I've seen people in church still mess up. They need a what? Shepherd. But let me tell you what also I've seen. I've seen people surrender to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and do things that nobody thought they'd ever be capable of. I've seen that too. I've seen it. So there's four things we've talked about this month. First of all, we're going to the ends of the earth. Y'all get that? We're going to follow. Out there, man. I don't know where it's all going, but it's going further than we think it will. And it's going to be bigger than we've ever seen. Does that make sense? I'm not talking about a crowd of people. I'm so tired of the church talking about crowds of people. In fact, Jesus didn't even like crowds. Y'all would have fired him. He comes to the potluck and sneaks out halfway through. Jesus won't even come to the wedding ceremony. He only makes receptions. And you ask Jesus to do a funeral, guess what he says? Let the dead bury the dead. How would you like that for a pastor? I preach a sermon to Baptist people. You would have fired Jesus. Because his mission is not to make us comfortable here. His mission is to forgive us of our sins so that when we stand before him in a moment of heaven, guess what? We will be cleansed of those sins and we can enter into heaven. Four things need to register with us. First of all, we're going to the ends of the earth. Secondly, you are important. How many of y'all have got that? You are important. I'm going to tell you, devil's going to whisper in your ear, you're not really important. And guess what you need to tell him? You a liar. Now you've told him what? Truth. It's time to speak truth into the demonic realm. The demonic realm lies to us all the time. Which is, you know what I believe? I believe that this church is not going to be just full of people for the sake of being full with people. I believe that God is going to bring people in here and baptize like we've never. I'm talking Pentecost type baptism. I've been begging God for years. God, I want to see 3,000 in one day. You say, well, how would you make that happen? I'd love to make this phone call and call all the churches. Guess what? I'm tired of us telling them we don't have enough buildings. I've calculated there's about 10,000 empty seats in this city in churches, and we don't have to build another building. 10,000 empty seats. We got enough space to get it done. It ain't about space. You know what we don't have? We don't have enough belief to get it done. That's what we're like. We're lacking some belief. But I'm going to step you up today in the name of Jesus. You're going to have to decide if you want to step out. Some of y'all have been following God for 30 or 40 years and never had somebody come to Christ because you lived. Let me tell you what, you need to reevaluate what you've gotten a hold of real serious. Because if you think you're mature, you have been conned by Satan himself. You're not discipled till you reproduce. I get it quiet, doesn't it? See, God never passed out Saturday school pens. He wasn't impressed with your attendance. He's impressed with your obedience. Like, if you're going to show up and do nothing, you might as well not show up at all. How serious is that? Either we believe what God's going to do or we don't, but I'm telling you, you're an important part and you're here today for a very important reason. God wants to move you to everything you can be. What do you think about that? I believe that. So you're important. Remember the old ring? Everything's important. Little things what? Matter. Don't tell me they don't matter. They matter. How many of you men ever been yelled at, or not yelled at, but at least spoken to because of your toilet seat operation ability? Little things what? Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. Whether it's what's supposed to be down or up or what. You're supposed to take it up and put it back down. Okay, all right. Which one is it, honey? I've heard the lecture. Not supposed to mess up the seat. Does that make sense? That's a simple what? Thing. But if you mess up, what do you hear? So I'm telling you, little things are deeply important. Look at here. Third thing is this. We got to believe the Word of God's the Word of God. I'm telling you, I'm calling you out. Either believe that Bible's true or you don't believe it's true. Now listen, if you're going to be at Hillview, you need to understand this. I believe the Bible's true. You understand that? You have a pastor who believes the Bible's true. That means I don't change the Bible when the world disagrees with it. That means I have to call some things that are a sin that HBO won't call a sin. The world won't call a sin, and even now our government will not call a sin. But guess what I got to call it? A sin. Like I said, Sheriff, they make a law that I can't call sin a sin. You better bring some big deputies because I'm kicking a fit on the way out. You may lock me up, but you will not shut me up. Because everybody comes visit me down to jail. Guess what I'm going to tell you? It's still a sin. It's still a sin. I don't care what it is, it's a sin. Lying is a sin. Even if the President of the United States does it. Even if preachers do it. It's still a what? Even if your grandmama does it, it's still a what? Grandmamas lie all the time. You know what my grandmama told me? I was a good boy. That's a lie. He'd be all right. Maybe. Let me tell you how you'll be all right. He'd meet Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Amen. His sins would be forgiven. Because that's the only way we can be healed. Now, you've heard those four things. We're going to the ends of the earth. That's where the Spirit's taking us. Everybody's important. Everybody's got a piece of the action. The Word of God is the Word of God, and we got to decide to believe the Word of God. You know what? I want some of you young, intellectual, fervent people to start believing the Word of God's the Word of God.
You know, Pastor Steve, my professor said that it was questionable.
The professor. What do they know? They only know about one thing real well. That's what it means to have a PhD. Earl, am I not telling the truth? And some of them have studied one thing so much, they don't know anything about anything else. I've had all kinds of professors. They know some things, but they don't know all things. I got a God that knows all things. You know what? We're going to be a healing place. We're going to welcome you. We're going to love you so you might meet Jesus Christ. But guess what? You got a responsibility to tell others about Christ, and we take that seriously here.
So if you want to come to church, you need a pastor to pet you on top of the head, one with really white teeth that smiles at you and tells you you're going to have a lot of money because you follow Jesus. I will not perpetuate that lie. You might not have a dime because you follow Jesus. That's happened more than not. Huh? Let's go out in Utah and start a church. Let's go out in Utah and start a Jesus-centered church. They'll try to starve you to death out there. You know why? They don't want those folks to hear that message. But guess what? They're going to hear that message because Jesus is Lord. Amen? Y'all got this today? I'm finished. Y'all got this today? Okay, now here's the tough part. Remember I told you about little kids, little babies, little 9-month-olds, 7-month-olds, 10-month-olds, and they take what? What happens? Jamie, did any of your children wobble or did they just come out of the womb walking, man? Huh? It wasn't for long, though, because I remember all four of them were running in a matter of moments. But they all had to take a what? First step. Well, today some of y'all need to take that first step. And the first step is you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Man, come on, let's get it. You know what our prayer is? That everybody in here is saved today. Is that okay? Am I crazy or what?
Some of you are going, Pastor Steve, I think you're imposing the gospel on me. You got it.
You're exactly right. I am imposing the gospel on you right now. And I hope the Holy Spirit takes it the rest of the way in you. All I can do is get it here. God's got to take it into your heart. Now, Mosley, let me ask you a question. Do things look different out of your deer stand when you're saved than from when you were unsaved? Is that all right? You've been saved. Did your deer stand look different then? Yeah. It changed. Listen, this is real, guys. It ain't about coming to church. Have y'all heard that from me about 20 years? It's not about being churched. It's about coming to Jesus. Real deal. You hear me, Lightfoot? Real deal, baby. In Christ. Made new. Forevermore. I'm looking at people in this room that are going to heaven. That just blows me away. I'm looking at people in this room that I'm going to be with for all eternity. Does that not blow you away? Elizabeth, you are going to be with me forever and ever and ever. But now think about this. I will be made perfect in heaven. So if the lid's messed up in heaven, that's the way it was supposed to be all those years. Huh? Now listen, today, some of you are going to be saved today. For the first time, you're going to come to Christ. Pastors, I need the pastors I got in here, if I got any elders in here. Jamie, if you can come right here, because I want people to know where we're going to be. We're about ready to take that step. Some of you need to be baptized. Go ahead, if you don't mind, Jamie, thank you. Jamie's been praying, man. Listen, I pick on Jamie all the time. He picks on me all the time, too. Have y'all noticed that? Jamie has made fun of me and hurt my feelings, and I've had to cry for a week and stuff like that. And Jamie, nobody's believing that. That's awful. The Lord has provided. I don't know if they had these in the first century, but we got them in the 21st century. Because I knew what some of y'all were going to say today. Man, the Holy Spirit's moving on me. I need to get baptized. But I didn't bring anything. God did. We got, gym shorts and a shirt. And we got a robe you're going to put on. Because I'm going to give you a challenge. You've seen a lot of baptisms in this church, but not as many as you're going to see. You're going to have a challenge. For those of you that have been baptized, guess what? It's time for you to put the black robe on. I'm going to teach you something. At Hillview, we use some symbolic things. Why do you always see the pastor in a black robe? You ever ask that question? I feel Jewish now. Why at baptism do we wear a black robe? You know, we're having this Seder meal. Here's why. We want you to know that the person baptism is totally blacked out of situation. It isn't about who's baptizing you. It's about who you're being baptized into. So we wear a black robe so that person's taken out of the picture and they only become the hands and arms of God. It's Jesus who's baptizing you. Does that make sense? So I got a challenge. Trish, you've been baptized. Trish, this has happened to you all in 1 year. This year, you've already had what? You've had a white robe. So guess what? Before the end of the year, I want you in the black robe. Bringing in what? The one that Lord brought you in a white robe. Is this making sense? Frank? I need to see my good Canadian brother in what? The black robe. God has sent you from Canada to the United States to be a missionary.
True? You're not the one that brought all the snow down here, though, are you? Are we? We got a pit here this morning for... No, I'm just kidding. Look at here. That Frank would be used. That I would be used. That Timmy would be used. Don, guess what? What? I've seen you in the white... What? Need you to put your black robe on? Now, guess what? You look at me. Dr. Jones, you looking at me like what? You're like, Pastor, what you talking about? No, I'm serious. Beth? Now, we got all sizes of these black robes. They'll fit anybody. We got one that'll go up to 6'6", 400 pounds. Looks like we got everybody taken care of in this service. We might have to get a little robe for the next service, but in this service, we're okay. I'm serious about this. So we're going to call people to get baptized. You know why you won't share with somebody the Lord? You got to get sealed in before you'll go share it. Now, baptism is that important. It's a witness.
Theologically, this is why baptism is important. Headmaster Tim, here's why I think it's important. First, Jesus said, do it. I've never seen anything Jesus said do mess anybody up. Trisha, I'm just going to refer to you because you just got out of the baptistry a few weeks ago. Let me ask you a question. Any side effects from the baptism that were harmful? You haven't noticed any? Hair still works well. Your ears didn't fall off. Okay. No skin burns. Okay, good. Because I've had people tell me, say, Pastor, I'm scared to get baptized. I just want you to know. How many of y'all have been baptized and nothing was harmful after the baptism? Raise your hand. Because a lot of y'all have had that experience here. Okay, good. I'm just checking. We do not see how long we can hold you down. Okay. The remission of sin has nothing to do with the length under. Okay. It has to do with the blood of Jesus. And what is that illustrating, though, is this. I have surrendered my old life. My old life has been forgiven by the one that can forgive it. And when I come up out of that baptistry, what am I testifying to? There's a new girl in the house. There's a new boy in the world. There's a new one. And I'm going to start taking those steps toward heaven. That's real. And so we're going to invite you to be baptized today. You know what? I hope everybody that needs to be baptized will be baptized. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you've said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Guess what? That means you're a believer in Christ. The next step is to do what? Be baptized. I don't know why you'd sweat that here at Hillview because we have people being baptized all the time. Y'all have seen them from age 9 to 99. Works on everybody. Now, some of y'all are going, well, Pastor Stephen, you understand when I was a baby? Listen, I recognize that with great fervor and significance. You know what I believe? When you were a baby, you were 3 months old, did you know what you were doing? No. But your parents knew what God desired. Let me tell you how much belief there is. They put that water on your head, put you in a nice little Christian robe or baptismal robe, and guess what? They poured that water on that head because guess what? They wanted to make sure their child knew what? Jesus Christ. So you know the way I see this? I see an adult baptism as a connection to that promise. And I know it's not harmful because my wife Elizabeth has been baptized in every mode that you can. She's been sprinkled, she's been poured, and she's been immersed. She probably needs it again. But we know, you see what I'm saying? But no, I'm just kidding. In other words, guess what? Along her spiritual pilgrimage, her parents said, I want my daughter to know Jesus Christ. When she was 11 years old, she went through confirmation class, and she said, I want to confirm that Jesus knows me. And then because she went through confirmation class, and God had great things in store for her, when she was 14, she met the greatest guy in her life. And God gave him to her. And he happened to be a Baptist, so she knew she needed to get all the way under to get that deal hooked up. See, I mean, God was in work, working before what? Anybody knew what was going on? Now, here's why I want everybody to be baptized. I want us to be an army with the same uniform on. And there's two things that bring Hillview Heights Church together. They're both biblical. Baptism into Jesus Christ and the ordinance of the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper or the table, the bread and the wine in Jesus. In those two things, we resonate that it is only Christ that we follow. We surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, the revelation of God, and the release of God's ministry through the body of Christ in those two ordinances. So today I'm going to invite you to come be baptized. Amen? So if you need to do that, I'm going to let you go ahead and get a jump start. Jamie, Jeff, and all them on there. Pastors, you may want to go get ready, and Jamie will take them up there, and that way we'll be ready to go. And so guess what? If you need to be baptized, if you don't mind, at this time, some of you already know that you're going to be baptized right now. You're prepared to do that. So I'm just going to ask you to stand up and head toward Pastor Jamie. We're having baptisms right now.
baptismal service is going to be awesome. Now, if you've never been baptized and you want to be, guess what? Right now is your chance.
So, Pastor Harris, aren't you going to do a long prayer?
No, because we've been praying all month long. I'm tired of this dragging on stuff. It either is or not. It's time to get real with it. It either is or not. True?
Yes.
Sit there and sing 500 verses of Just As I Am. I've walked up to the altar before just to get them to stop. I was hungry. I'm telling you the truth, Sheriff. I'm being honest. I was in a revival, and this old guy's singing. I mean, he's on his 400th verse of Just As I Am. I said, I'm going up, and at least I always got something to repent of. Maybe he'll stop. My stomach was about to eat itself. Either you're on or you're off. Does this make sense? Somebody, church, you're hearing what I'm saying. And I'm telling you right now, it's time to be on. I'm not going to lie to you as your pastor. You may not like me, but I will not lie to you. This world is changing quicker than I personally thought it would. I knew these things were coming. I just didn't know they were coming in 2011. I was about 10 years off. Well, guess what that means? We got to share the gospel quicker than we were going to. All right? Now I'm going to hold you responsible. Some of you say, well, I'm a guest. Do I need to be baptized? If you need to be baptized, listen. We don't baptize you into church membership here. That bothers some of my colleagues. But I want to tell you the truth. I have a deep question for my colleagues, and they hadn't been able to answer it in 30-some years. What church did everybody join in Acts 2? 2,000 people were baptized. Did they join the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem? Or the Church of Christ Church in Jerusalem? Or the Assembly God Church? Or the non-denominational church? Yeah, they joined that one because we hadn't messed it all up yet. You know what they really joined? Christ. Crucified and resurrected. I think we need to try that again. Amen? So listen, if you need to be baptized at this moment, will you all, those who need to be baptized, will you all start moving toward Jamie? You got to get up and go right now. You got, yeah, there we go. Great. Wonderful. Good. We got some people coming. Come on. Now, if anybody else needs to be baptized, who do you need to go see right now? Why do y'all, what, look, we get down time to make decision. Everybody locks up. Y'all going, I'm supposed to do it, but I don't know if I can. You can. We will pray that God take all fear away. If you need to do that, today's a great day to get that done. Got several people being baptized. Guess what? If everybody needs to be baptized and God puts that on your heart, we'll stay here. We'll just tell 11 o'clock they have to stay out in the parking lot until we get done. Y'all think I'm kidding? I'll do that. This is the most important thing that goes on. Joseph, can you tell me anything else more important? When you stand before judgment, is God going to ask you this? Did you sing praise and worship songs or did you not? Is he going to ask you that? Is he going to ask you if you read out of the New International Version of the Bible or the American Standard Version of the Bible? Is he going to ask you that, Jeff? Is he going to ask you if you were a Baptist, Church of Christ, Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, New, Old, Light? What is he going to ask you that stuff? But will he ask you this? Have you repented of your sins, believed I died on the cross, know I'm risen from the grave, and do you know I am the only way to heaven? Will he ask you that? You better believe it. So guess what? We're going to open this thing up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you for doing what God wants you to do. As a man doing what God wants him to do. As a man doing what God wants him to do. Hold on. Hold on. Now guess what? See, it's gotten loose. Y'all feel that right there? Did you feel that breeze coming through here? Don't be scared of that breeze. God's been wanting to blow that breeze in this church for about 5 years. He's been wanting to blow this thing again. He wants you to know he's called you to win this city. He's called you to win this city. And every time I get in this breeze, oh, thank you, Jesus, for being here. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. When you get in this breeze, I hear one thing. I hear one thing. Jamie, I can hear it right now. It's clear as a bell. I hear an old out-of-tune piano. And it's in Brownsville, Kentucky. Jimmy, you know exactly where I'm talking about, in Camp Joy. I was a 9-year-old kid. And this piano is banging out a song. I can see it like right now, like I'm there. And there's, I mean, it's a cruddy-looking camp. Raj, one song they're singing. Oh, him, I have decided to follow Jesus. Keith, that's the only hymn I know every word to.
And I know that refrain, and it gets in my head when God rushes like this. Though none go with me, I still will follow. And they'd get them southern gospel singers, you know what I'm talking about? And they'd slobber and spit and sweat. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Man, I've been times in my life where I've stood there and I've been as scared as I could ever be. And I'll hear that old piano starting in the back of my head. Though none go with me, John, I still will follow. Hillview Heights Church was created in a hill in Brownsville, Kentucky, of all places, by anointing a 9-year-old bucket-headed kid that didn't have a clue to what God would do with his life, who had a mama who praised in the prayers of the Holy Spirit with all kinds of prayers, and nobody'd ever know it because she could care less about glorifying herself, but she's absolutely committed to glorifying her God. And God gave her a son. She didn't have a son. God gave her a son. God put a son in her arms, and she gave that son to God. And you have the burden of listening to him every Sunday. There's other sons and daughters that are fixing to be given to the work of the Lord. And we're going to see from them what we can't dream right now. It's time to go. It's time to be baptized. It's time to repent. It's time to pray. We're going to watch these baptisms. Even during the baptism, if God tells you, man, this is what I want you to do today, I want you to get up there. Makes sense. Just promise me you'll do what God says do in this moment. Amen. That's real. That's real. The Middle East may shift. It's going to. But God won't change. Pray for my brothers and sisters in Israel. So why do we need to pray for Israel? I don't know, because in the Bible it says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It did not say pray for the peace of Miami. It said Jerusalem. So I pray for Jerusalem. Let Jesus have his way right now. Amen. Some of you older gentlemen, listen. Get it done today. Get it done today. Y'all are leaving a trail on your family. You're making your wives. I'm sure that you love Jesus and you know Jesus. But man, let me tell you what. If you do have to check out, it's really nice that your wife and your children can know that you were baptized. Please don't be so stinking selfish that you make them wonder at your death who you stood with. Please. I've been there and done that. It's awful. I've had to bury people like that. I knew they were, but they weren't sure they were because they'd never given testimony of. Make sense? I'm going to tell you what, I'm tired of this lie. Well, I'll tell you what, me and the Lord are all right. Well, yeah. But let me ask you a question. Is the Lord all right with you? I ain't worried about what you think. You don't have the power to save yourself. Have you heard from Jesus that he's called you to his salvation? That's where salvation is. Make sense? All right. I do not apologize for being cranked up right now. And if you're offended, be offended. You think it hurts to be offended right now, you wait till what's coming. You wait until the day of judgment. You want to be offended. You don't want to hear this. Depart from me, you cursed one, to an eternal hell prepared for the devils and his angels. Because when I was, you weren't. That's the judgment. Now, some of you who got a hippie Jesus can say, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I worship a loving God who wouldn't send anybody to hell. I do too, but he's got a judgment. And we hadn't heard about it since 1970 when everybody started smoking dope, including too many preachers. God's not lofty. He's committed to the purpose of heaven, and he desires with death that we become a part of it and shows us life everlasting. Come be that. Amen. Let's stand together for just a moment. I want to pray. You ready? Okay. Hey, you take the prayer and I'll go get ready to baptize folks. How's that?
Let's pray. As they get ready, we're going to ask our stewards to come and we'll take up the offering. And let's just be in prayer. What a powerful time. And I want you to know, it's not too late. I mean, when you're seeing these people get baptized, some of you know you need to do it. And I just invite you to step out, go through that door right over there, and you can do it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for how you've moved this morning, Lord, because only you can do that. We thank you for those that you have saved, but who hadn't taken that first step. And we celebrate, Father, as their brothers and sisters, we celebrate your movement in their lives. And Lord, I pray for those that are that are still out here that have yet to take that first step. They know they've been saved and forgiven, but they haven't taken that. Lord, I pray they step out, Lord, and that they be obedient. They say yes to you. Lord, we pray that you bless the tithes and the offering. And we pray, Lord, you'd use that offering, you'd multiply it so that we could take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We love you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you all. How many of y'all had some friends, some loved ones, some people who were close to you confess their faith in baptism today? Can we give God praise for what he's done in his service today? What he's done in his service today. Thank you, Jesus. So, let's see what happened. We had like people pray last night and God broke loose this morning. Earl, I wonder if that's coincidental or just biblical. Time for us to get into the Bible. Man, listen, I got some good news. If you know, as you watch those baptisms, it happens to a lot of folks because baptism is witness. And as they're being baptized in the spiritual realm, what's really going on is the Holy Spirit's being released as a testimony to the cross and the resurrection. That's really happening. Guess what? We're going to baptize next service too. So you stick around and you can get in that. Look at this. You don't have to be left out today. Is that not amazing? Somebody asked me today, I said, who are you for today, Jesus? I forgot what day it was. That's how consumed we've been with you getting saved. Somebody said, the game, I don't know. Here's what I know. You need to go to heaven. And I promise you, if you don't feel the sweat and the intensity in my voice today, I don't know what, I mean, God's going to turn me inside out to get it to you. I'm asking you to listen. This is not a moment of history to play with God. I'm telling you, it's over. We've played games long enough, and so, listen, it's time for the church to repent. I'm not talking about filling up stadiums. I'm done with so much of the mess the church has been. I'm talking a daily life of releasing the power of God. I'm not scared of the supernatural because you're going to see the supernatural. Somebody asked me, they said, well, are you worried about what might happen with the world? Here's what I know. My health care is in Jesus Christ. He sustained the children of Israel for 40 years. They didn't need a policy. Their food came from God, and here's what I know. God will sustain his people. Now, if you're not one of his, yon yon, that'll be rough. Now, I'm not telling you don't get any luxuries, but you get sustained. I believe we'll be what? Sustained. And we at Hillview, man, God's blessed us. We know how to grow stuff. We know how to kill and skin stuff. So if things got rough, God's already given us some skills. It's called being a redneck. And guess what? We'll get it done. Amen. But people can come to know Christ. You have been given a challenge today. And it is in your hand. It's in your hand. You got it? Brothers, if you don't have one, please raise your hand because I want you to have one. You don't have one, sweetheart? You got one. I was calling her sweetheart, not you. Angela, if you'll get that. Give me one and pass them one. Here's the challenge today. We're going to get out of here at 11 o'clock. We do not apologize for being late because people got baptized all over the place today. And we'll be late for that. Amen. We'll be late for that moment. Look at here. On the back of this card is a baptismal decision card. It's not just a decision to follow Christ. It's a decision to follow Christ and be obedient in baptism. You're on mission. You're on mission. We're on mission. For those of you in Christ, it's time for you to put the black robe on. I am serious as I can be about this. I expect every one of you who can't claim Christ as your Lord and Jesus and follow her. I do not think it's a ridiculous request for me to ask you in 365 days to see one person come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because you breathe. I don't think that's overwhelming, do you? That's not an overwhelming request. Tell the story of Jesus. Bring this. Leave them with the gospel and bring the card to us. And I want you to walk up in those steps. Put that black robe on, just like Debbie did with her beautiful friend Melissa. And Marissa, 8 years, right, Debbie? 8 years you've been praying, talking, loving. And guess what? You got to send out, look at beautiful family, blessed. But guess what? Guess how long 8 years is to God? Nah. That's not even a wink. That's not even an eyelash flicker. But you stay in there. Knowing that God can make it happen. Once again, if you need to be baptized, I'm just going to dismiss this service from here. Put this in your Bible.
And I'm going to ask you to put it in your Bible for a reason. I want it to fall out. I want it to irritate you. I want it to fall on the ground. I want you to have to pick it up when you're studying in the scripture. I want you to have to move it around. And guess how you get rid of it? Hello? Well, you really don't get rid of it, because as soon as you bring me one, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to hand you another one. Now, Sheriff, I expect more than one out of you. As much as you can talk, I expect Pentecost coming out of you. You know, so, there you go. Amen. Tell them. It's just tell them. Tyler, what do I expect out of you? One. And your compadre here, one out of him. All right? Now, as much as you look at girls, it might be one girl, one boy, and that would be qualified, don't you think? Tyler's my buddy. I'm that serious. Y'all that serious? You say, Pastor Steve, where are we going to put all those people? You want to hear my plan? I don't know. I don't. And I feel better about that than if I had a plan. Because in 1991, I didn't know where we was going to put all y'all. But God made a way. And God will make a way. God has already made a way for this church to minister. Now, I'm talking about minister. I ain't talking about show up and listen to sermons. I'm talking about minister. We can minister to well over 20,000 people from this location. Just this location. But we're talking about ministering to this whole county. And then to the ends of the earth. But I just don't know how we get all hepped up about the ends of the earth if we won't reach our next door neighbor. I think that for me, as your pastor, that's real hypocritical. Like, foreign people, we want them to go to heaven, but our neighbors, we're okay with them going to hell. That don't make a lick of sense to me. I don't want anybody to go to hell, amen? And I just do better telling the gospel in a language that I can speak. I'm more effective in that. I don't know about y'all. But I want to reach somebody from another language so they can go to that language and they can go tell them, amen? And eventually this all gets messed up with Jesus, amen? I love you. Thank you for allowing the Spirit of God today. Thank you for not freaking out. Now, you've been empowered. Now, some of y'all go in a restaurant. What you got in your hand? So instead of picking on the waiter, listen, don't witness if you're not going to tip. Because I don't want them to think God's cheap. But if you're going to tip good, you go ahead and you say, hey, sir, can I tell you about the greatest thing that happens? Hey, young lady, can I tell you what might radically change your life forever? Okay, now listen, if you need to be baptized, we get it done. We baptize all through the week. There's not a crowd requirement. But I do want you all to get that sealed away so we can go on to the ends of the earth. Amen? Y'all are lovely. God's even better. So he's getting it done. How many of y'all glad to know? Y'all saw miracles today. Y'all saw 15 baptisms in this service. Can y'all not say thank you, Jesus? No, I want to really blow you away. This will blow you away. The average Southern Baptist church, this is pathetic. I mean, it is horrid. The average Southern Baptist church sees 5 baptisms a year. And you just, I mean, that's 3 years of ministry. Here's the problem. God's not average. And when you start thinking average, then you, guess what you do? You forsake the power of the Holy Spirit and rely on the ways of man. And they're pretty limited. So go take the unlimited God that has freed us of our sins and go live in a world of chaos, letting them know that there is a way greater than they can see. And you have been called by Jesus to tell them the way. Amen. God bless you. God love you. Go tell it. See ya.